Become the Media Radio. Become the Media Radio. Become the Media Radio is a one-hour program featuring edited segments of programs independently produced and aired on Free Radio Santa Cruz, an unlicensed micropower radio station broadcasting for nearly a decade in Santa Cruz, California, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 96.3 megahertz and streaming live at www.freakradio.org. On this month's program, we'll feature interviews from Kevin Danaher and Maya Ramna on the upcoming WTO meetings in Cancun from the Rockin' a Boat Show with the V-Man. We'll also feature an interview with Paul LaRudy on Harvest Time in Palestine with Old Lady Scar Arms. We'll feature an educational collage mix on the Israeli separation / apartheid wall going up in Palestine. We'll feature music from the bands Seize the Day and Kindness. And we'll also get a special visit from the Learning Circle, the alternative family education homeschool program put on by the Santa Cruz City Schools. Stay tuned to Become the Media Radio.
Time and an aggressive time, a painful time, a time where cynicism rots the vine, and a time where violence blocks the summer shine. Lifetimes go by in a flash, in a search for love, in a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon, everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune, or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon to step out of line. You might get laughed at, you might get fined, but do you fear me when I say I feel pain every day when I see the way my friends gotta slave and never get ahead of bills they gotta pay? No way, no way. Some make a living doing killing, Colombian penicillin. Some are willing to play the villain, they just chilling to pass the time, pass the information, or pass the wine, pass the buck, or pass the baton. But you can't pass the police or the Pentagon, the IRS or the upper echelon. I think it's time to make a move on the contradiction. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Keep the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Keep the corporations of complication. Say, ooh, ooh. The dawning of our time. I say it one more time to emphasize the meaning of my rhyme. To rise above all the dirt and grime, add the right spice at the right time. Fuck the Constitution. Are we part of the solution, or are we part of the pollution? Sitting by and wondering why things ain't the way we like to find them to be. To be for you and for me, the people over there and the ones in between. Check our habitation. Are we a peace-loving nation? Peace-loving nation. I have a reasonable doubt. I think I just spell it out. There's no need to scream or to shout. The NRA just bought a man's soul. Then he jumps up and shouts, gun control. The government say that killing's a sin unless you kill a murderer with a lethal syringe. So I ask again, are we peace lovers then? Peace lovers then. Some of them slang guns when they 6 years old. Some of them end up in some 6 foot hole. This whole damn place seems to lost control. So I raise my voice before I lose my soul. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Give the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Give the corporations of complication. Yeah. Ooh, ooh. Say, ooh, ooh. Say, ooh, ooh.
Radio, rock the mic. Is the way I'll express my feelings. I reveal demi balls spinning on a record. Y'all try to confiscate, take what I communicate with. It's ancient, gift to the lips, steady creating, activating, passing vocal violations to the blind plus the seeing. Human doesn't mean just being, becoming. Don't believe it, just be life it. Belongings and beloved, rehearse it or recite it while shining. Drop your guns, move your tongues, battle motivation. No times lyrics come, sometimes fun, others run. Their mouth go away, my mind's cold beaming like an early sun ray. One day we'll get the picture and all combine. Let's be talking about minds, mind, and be. Become one mind.
side. Every piece of the puzzle has its place to build the piece of the puzzle called the human race. Taking it long enough to cross the formal journalistics. It's like the critics talk backwards to rap words. I'm sure raising my hand with questions and demands, statements and a plan with the map of the land.
Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Keep the corporations of complication. Bomb, bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb, the truth shall come. Keep the corporations of complication, y'all.
Joining me in the studio is Kevin Danaher and Maya Ramnath. Kevin Danaher is a co-founder and public education director of Global Exchange, the San Francisco-based human rights organization dedicated to promoting environmental, political, and social justice around the world. Having traveled the world over, he is familiar with the problems and prospects of economic development in many third world countries. Also in our studio is Maya Ramnath. She is a graduate student in history at UC Santa Cruz and has been active in many social justice movements which oppose neo-imperialism. Maya has worked with the International Solidarity Movement in Palestine and the Vandenberg Action Coalition locally. She is currently organizing with the Santa Cruz Peacemakers at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, who are sending a delegation from Santa Cruz to Cancun to the Parallel People's Forum on Alternatives to the WTO. I want to welcome you both to our studios tonight.
Thanks. Thank you.
Why don't we begin with you, Kevin Danaher? I don't want to spend too much time talking about the problems with the global economy, but I think it would be beneficial for some of our listeners if you could just sort of lay out a framework of what is wrong with the current state of affairs in the global economy.
Well, there's three crises. There's a social crisis of growing inequality. The richest 20% of the world's people consume 86% of the world's resources, which means the poorest 80% of the world's people try to survive on 14% of the world's resources. We have more children dying in sub-Saharan Africa each year from AIDS alone than there were children died during the entire Nazi Holocaust. There are more people dying crossing the border between Mexico and the United States than died crossing the Berlin Wall under communism. We could go on and on and on. The inequality is getting worse. And in fact, the goal of the Bush administration, as every imperial administration in the post-World War II period in Washington, has been to maintain the global inequality. We are 5% of the world's people consuming 25% of the world's wealth, and they want to keep it that way. And that's what this war in Iraq and all this other resource wars is all about. Now, the second crisis is the environmental crisis. Every biological system, whether it's underground water, topsoil, rivers, glaciers melting, the air pollution, et cetera, all the biological systems are in collapse. And there's a spiritual, moral crisis of a system that says success is defined by the quantity of things you own rather than the quality of your relationships with other human beings and with Mother Nature. So clearly we're going to win. Our life values nonviolence paradigm is going to beat the violence money paradigm. But it's going to be determined whether it's quick or not is by whether we get activists or not. If people are going to sit on their hands and watch TV and get high every night and not get out there in the streets, this stuff isn't going to change. And it's why the Constitution of the United States starts out with we the people, because it's up to we the people to change this situation. It's not going to come from the Bush administration. Just one point about the WTO. The World Trade Organization, I think, is the most dangerous institution on the planet because it is writing a constitution for the entire world. And it is a money values constitution with only big transnational corporations having a seat at the table. So if you look at the way transnational corporations work, they're not rooted in place. They're not based in a particular community. Their economic strength is that they can cut and run. It's why the United States now imports more computer equipment from China than China buys from the United States. It's not China. It's Dell, Compaq, Macintosh, Intel, Hewlett-Packard shut their factories down here, moved them to China because they can pay workers a buck or two a day and treat them like trash. So if we the people allow the World Trade Organization to write a constitution for the planet that enshrines the power of transnational corporations over we the people and our government agencies, we're screwed and the planet is screwed.
Maybe you can touch upon exactly who controls the WTO. It seems to me that the WTO does the bidding of the United States. Is that the case?
Yeah. It's not as blatant as in the World Bank and the IMF. The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund were set up at the end of World War II with your voting power in proportion to how much money you put in. So the U.S., that was the U.S.'s way, U.S. government's way of having veto power. The WTO, technically speaking, each country has one vote. But the way things get decided, anybody who's ever participated in big international institutions, you know that there's all these PrepCom meetings that go on before where drafts get written. And that's really what it is. It's a struggle over wording because they're writing law. So in the Doha round 2 years ago, they ran away to Qatar in the Persian Gulf to have a meeting because there's no civil rights or protest allowed. And they came up with this Doha round, Doha being the capital city of Qatar, where they wrote the document. And it says, for example, it has sentences that say, it is the right of all countries to safeguard the health of their people when it comes to buying medicines. Now, the problem for the U.S. government, the Bush administration, is they're getting huge campaign contributions from pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies don't want to hear any crap about, oh, you have the right to feed your people by buying cheaper pharmaceuticals from Brazil or India or South Africa. They want a global monopoly. So there's a lot of things that the Bush administration would like to be able to do at these meetings coming up in Cancun to trade off, like say, okay, we'll cut our farm subsidies so you third world farmers aren't getting wiped out by our subsidized exports. But it's an election year, so Bush can't trade his own farm votes in the U.S. Midwest for a bunch of third world governments. So what we're going to see in Cancun, this is my prediction, I think the ruling class of the planet is perfectly poised to get a big foot in their ass right now. I think the talks are going to just collapse. There's going to be thousands of people out in the streets, and we'll make the news. The people out in the streets will make the news.
Well, can you go a little further with that? How are these talks going to collapse? I mean, what is going to push that? Is it the delegates in the meeting? Is it a combination of the delegates with coupled with the people in the streets?
Right.
What
is it? If you go back to Seattle and you look at what happened there, how it collapsed, we're out in the streets. There's like, you know, 55,000 of us out in the streets with 8 to 12,000 people sitting down doing direct action to actually block the meetings from happening. That protest on the outside stiffened the spines of third world government leaders on the inside to finally step forward to the first world, to the industrial country governments like the U.S. and Britain and France, and say, hey, look, we've been getting screwed in this whole operation. You guys develop the policies in these green rooms where we're not even permitted. Then you come to the larger meetings and you dump it on us as fait accompli, and either we're going to go along or else, hey, we'll cut you off from investment and World Bank loans and all this. So the unity of our forces on the outside, everything from, you know, the butterflies to the steel workers, our unity created disunity on the inside. So you had first world versus third world governments. You had U.S. versus Europe on some very important taxation and bioengineered food issues. And you had divisions within the governments themselves between the trade ministers and the environment ministers. Because you got to remember, a lot of these European countries, the environment ministers actually have some clout. There's green parties that hold seats in parliament and stuff. So there was so much fighting going on inside that they collapsed and they didn't even issue a communique at the end. It's the only time in history where a world trade ministers meeting ended in total collapse, nothing at the end of it. And I think we could see a similar thing in Cancun if we really get out there and mobilize people.
That's the voice of Kevin Danaher, co-founder of Global Exchange. And I'm also joined in the studio by Maya Ramnath, and she is a local activist, grad student at UC Santa Cruz. And this is Rockin' the Boat here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Let's talk a little bit about, we've kind of laid out the problems, and maybe we can have Maya, maybe you can address the kinds of alternatives that we are putting forth, and maybe you can sort of articulate the economy, the global economy that we'd like to see in the future.
Well, I think that's part of what's going to be discussed by during the alternative social forums, workshops, teach-ins that are going to be going on throughout that whole week, kind of parallel to the elite corporate discussions that are going to be going on. I did want to clarify the nature of the Santa Cruz delegation. The peacemakers from the Resource Center for Nonviolence, there are some members of the peacemakers who are involved, but it's really a much looser grouping of people that have been using the Resource Center as our meeting space, as our place to network with one another, share contacts for media, for fundraising opportunities. But it's much looser. There are students involved, a variety of independent people. I'm estimating 20 to 30 people locally, maybe more, maybe less. I know there are people on our list who are not going that are planning to do ground support here, and people that I keep running into people who I didn't know about who are planning to go. I also want to say something about reasons for going, because I had some debate personally before deciding to go. I had participated over the past few years in large-scale mobilizations against the FTAA in Quebec, the World Economic Forum in New York City, the IMF World Bank in D.C. What I didn't want to do in Cancun was Summit Hop, be part of a radical invasion of gringos coming to fuck shit up. That's exactly what I didn't want to do. I had to be convinced that we were wanted by people organizing on the ground and that there was some constructive use that we could serve. And I finally came to the conclusion that there's two really important functions, and one is to learn. I'm thinking that if citizens of the United States have the opportunity, I think it is so crucial for people to get out of this virtual reality bubble and see what things look like from the rest of the world. Statements that here sound like pass for radical subversion anywhere else in the world is a no-brainer about connections between corporate capital and U.S. imperialism, for example. It's so obvious from anywhere else in the world. So I think that we can only benefit from going down, and we have so much to learn from Mexican organizers, international organizers, in these forums. The other function is, it's kind of obscene that we have this privilege, but since we do, I think it's undeniable that the presence of a lot of internationals, particularly American internationals, gets media attention and radically changes the dynamic between police forces, forces of oppression, and activists. And this has been mentioned by the student groups, for example, who are organizing at the Autonomous University. There's a new student coalition formed called the Alianza Global S9, the Via Campesino, which is a coalition of regional farmers organizations, which is going. And they've expressed that sentiment that our presence may be helpful to them.
Let's look at what the Mexican groups are working on anyway, and highlight those so we come in behind them where they're doing the leadership of setting the agenda, and we come in and educate people. For example, agriculture. Agriculture, I would argue, is going to be the key issue for dumping this round in Cancun, because you've got such a huge gap between what agriculture is in most third world countries. It was a colonial product, coffee, tea, cocoa. It was imposed at the end of a gun. It's an export crop. You can't eat it locally. And if it wasn't for force and violence and dictatorships using U.S. weapons and all this, it wouldn't be there. People would be using good land to feed their children, not, you know, export cut flowers to Holland and all this kind of nonsense. So they're getting totally screwed by the industrial countries subsidizing the export with our tax money, government money, subsidizing export of basic grains, corn, rice, wheat, soy, that is swamping third world farmers. You can land U.S. yellow number 2 corn in southern Africa cheaper than a peasant in South Africa or Zimbabwe can bring it to market. You can land U.S. rice in West Africa cheaper than a peasant can bring it to market. There's now U.S. corn flooding the Mexican market, highly subsidized because of NAFTA. NAFTA called for the reduction of Mexican corn tariffs that historically had kept out the U.S. subsidized corn. That corn's washing in there now. Where those farmers end up? They get knocked off their land. First place they go is ghettos in Mexican cities. Second place they go is ghettos in U.S. cities. So these people who talk about, oh, immigration, you say stop them when they talk about it in this racist tone. And say, you want to do something about it? You think those people want to come? You think they want to come because of the bright lights of L.A. or something like that? It's because of the disparity between the job opportunities and wage scales in Mexico and those here. Well, let's balance them out. Mexico is a fantastically rich country. So there's this massive protest movement around the conditions in Mexican agriculture that the corn farmers, which is the majority of Mexican peasants, they're being knocked off the land. The coffee farmers are being knocked out of business because of a low world market price. That sentiment is going to be represented in the WTO somewhat forcefully by the Brazilian government, the Mexican government, the Indian government, different governments that have a big stake in this. It's impossible for Bush in an election year to say, I'm going to cut farm subsidies in order to please. They're really caught between a rock and a hard place. So if you look at the numbers, the industrial countries spend more subsidizing their agricultural exports than they spend in aid to the entire third world. So all of that kind of mythology and lies that they've been hiding behind, that's going to all come out, hopefully, during these meetings and the protests. At least we, Maya and I and other people in the movement, are going to try and bring them out.
You're tuned to Rockin' the Boat here on Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. People like yourself, Kevin, are described as protectionists. How do you take these arguments? What do you say to people that...
Well, think about how desperate these clowns are. The word protect is a totally positive word. You protect your health, you protect your family, you protect your home, you protect your community, you protect Mother Earth, the planet. There's nothing negative about the word protect. They're so desperate to try to name-call us into silence, rather than dealing with the substance and the science of our arguments and the spirit of our arguments, they want to call us names. So it used to be you're a communist, and now you're a protectionist or a terrorist. Or this name-calling does not settle a debate. Facts and analysis and reason and logic and dialogue with respect is what settles debates. We have been trying, Global Exchange, 50 Years is Enough Network, a whole bunch of groups, we have been struggling for over 2 years to get the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank to debate us on TV. BBC and WorldLink TV agreed to accept all the costs of it to set up a global broadcast of a debate between the global justice movement, grassroots movement, and the World Bank and the IMF. The World Bank and the IMF have thousands of PhD economists. Thousands of PhD economists, and they will not debate us on a global TV broadcast. So I think that kind of tells you they know they're beat already at the ideological, moral, spiritual level, at the level of values. We have them beat because our values are life cycle values, human rights and the environment, and theirs are money values. And life values will always beat money values because Mother Nature's the home team. She always bats last, always has, always will. That'll never change.
I've always thought it was interesting how little the words conservatism and conservation seem to have to do with each other.
And that's going to wind it up for us. Unless either of you, I'm going to offer a minute for each of you to give us a final thought. Maya.
Yeah, I'll just have a thought on future alternatives to the current global economic system. And obviously, I don't have the answers, but I do have a couple of suggestions for guiding principles, which are very different than the ones that the current system functions under. And one is, obviously, this isn't new, but to choose tactics based on the goals of social, economic, environmental justice rather than profit. That's so if choices are made according to that goal, you're going to come out with different forms than if you use the profit goal. The other principle, I think, is, again, very simple. I didn't invent this, but bottom-up, not top-down, autonomous grassroots communities determining what's best in their own interests. And I think if that's a guiding principle, the structures that come out are going to look radically different than the ones that we have.
Kevin, final word.
Yeah, final word is our greatest obstacle is within ourselves, the cult of powerlessness, believing that we can't do this. We can do this. We can change the course of history. I'd like to encourage people to go to the Global Exchange website. It's globalexchange.org. You will find dozens and dozens of ways on that website that you can get involved in various struggles around the world that link the interests of people on the other side of the planet with our own interests here in our own community. So please check out our website, globalexchange.org.
Hey, hey. Ho, ho. The WTO has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho.
And you're listening to the Become WTO the Media Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Ho, do cream to the dregs every WTO Thursday evening from 8 to 11.
Ho, ho. The WTO has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho. The WTO has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho. The WTO has got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho. The WTO has got to go. There ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. There ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. There ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. There ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop.
Seattle, 1999, the WTO met to make it easier to borrow from tomorrow. The people faced an army and the people's voice was strong.
We will not support a system making money from what is wrong.
Whose world?
Our world.
Whose streets?
Our streets.
Whose life?
Our life. Oh, hey, hey, ho, ho, the WTO has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, the WTO has got to go.
Face to face, their soldiers with tear gas in our eyes. Democracy was dying and the people realized. The multinational ruling class, WTO, conspiring against us.
Well, now they have to go. This is what democracy looks like.
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 This is
what democracy looks like. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace, no justice.
As the world keeps turning,
party. It's time to make a stand. The farmers, the unions, Earth First and First Nation.
Seattle showed the world that we're a
force for celebration. WTO has got to go, hey, hey, ho, 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 WTO has got to go, hey, hey, ho, 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 WTO has got to go, ho, 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 hey, 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 our people is here to stay.
Say check 1 2.
Check 1 2.
Everybody say hi again.
Hi.
We have the Learning Circle here, the alternative family education class that happens at Loudon Nelson. So what's your name, young
Sequoia?
Man? What's it, say it into there.
Sequoia.
So what are you doing here? You ever been to a radio station before?
No.
Never. How old are you?
Five.
Five. What's your name?
Zoe.
Zoe. How old are you?
Six.
Anybody else want to say something?
Me.
Okay, we'll send it over this way. We'll send the mic around.
Why don't you say your name and say how old you are?
Yeah.
I'm Brendan.
How old are you?
Four.
Four? Pass it to someone.
I want two.
What's your name?
Tink.
Tink. How old are you?
Seven.
Seven. Ever been in a radio station?
No. Look at,
most of these kids never been in a radio station. Imagine that. Pass it to her. What's your name?
Ella.
Ella, how old are you?
Five.
You're talking live on the air right now.
Hello, Santa Cruz.
Okay, we have more. We have more here. What's your name?
Christopher Simon.
And how old are you?
I'm six.
You're six. You've been on a radio station? What do you think? What?
I think it is cool.
This is Erastus. I've been on before. 6 years old.
Are you a DJ here? Okay, pass it on to one of your other classmates here.
Okay.
He already got it. What's your name?
Leah.
Leah, how old are you?
Six.
Six. Right, we got everybody? Everybody. Is that everybody? Oh, and who are you?
I'm Hannah, and I haven't been on a radio station before, and I'm five.
What do you think?
Cool.
It's pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. And who are you, ma'am?
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm the teacher of Learning Circle.
Learning Circle. And
should I tell everybody what that is?
Sure. That'd be great.
That's part of the Santa Cruz Homeschool Program, Alternative Family Education through Santa Cruz City Schools.
And that's, you do this Monday through Friday, huh?
Well, I do, but Learning Circle meets Tuesday and Thursday morning at Loudon Nelson.
Loudon Nelson. And it's an alternative school from Alternative Family Education, which is really cool. So what do kids think about your school? You like your Learning Circle class?
Yeah.
Who wants to say something about it?
Oh, whoa. Who wants to say something about Learning Circle?
Oh,
Erastus,
he's going to the bathroom. You going to the bathroom? Okay. There's a bathroom right there.
That's
cleverly concealed.
After Erastus. Go ahead. Tell
I like Learning Circle because she doesn't give out homework.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead, say what
Sequoia?
I don't have to do homework, and I'm going to say like goodbye.
Okay.
Okay, Leah, did you want to say something about Learning Circle? Or Jelly? Leah, did you
want to
say something?
No.
Ella, you want to say something about Learning Circle?
You want to say something about Learning Circle?
It's fun.
Erastus, do you want people to talk about the Earth?
What did you want to say? Talk about that.
Keep the Earth from getting polluted. Keep it from getting trash on. Next one.
Okay, think of what you want to say about how to help the
Earth. Hello?
How are you going to help the Earth, Sequoia?
giving God more future.
Say that again?
Giving God more future.
Oh. Tink, how can you help the planet?
By not throwing trash anywhere in the garbage.
Anybody else have an idea?
Pick up litter.
Good idea. Whoop, Maggie.
By planting a tree.
Good idea. Leah, what's an idea how to help the planet?
Not throw trash out, only into the garbage.
Good idea. Anybody else have an idea? Erastus wanted you to share ideas of how to help the planet. Anyone else have an idea how to take care of the Earth? I have
another idea. Recycle.
I was thinking of that idea.
Good one. It's one we can all do. Do you guys want to sing a song?
Sing a song on the radio? Yeah. Come over here. Everybody come close to me.
I do.
You want to sing a song?
No, no, no.
You know
it. No, no, no.
I do.
Okay,
come over here. Okay, tell them the name of your song first. Wait, Sequoia. This is Leah and Ella first.
Chaos Radio, 96.3.
Clinging from the clock in the hall. And the bells in the steeple, too. And up in the nursery, an absurd little bird is popping up to say, cuckoo, a cuckoo. A crystal they can tell us, but firmly they can tell us to say goodnight to you.
Beautiful. Anybody else would like to sing something?
Would you guys like to sing a song all together?
Maybe we could all sing.
Yeah. Let's sing the more we get together, because everybody knows that and we can sing it really well. Come here. You could do it. Kai, come over here. Come on.
And this is the learning circle here at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Ready? Come here, sweetie. One, no kissing. Two, three.
The more you get together, the more.
All right. Hey, you got some guys over there trying to spin some records. You guys want to play some records? You want to play a record? We'll have to find one. Hey, you guys over there, you want to grab a record over there on the ground somewhere? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
You want to hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. Here. Go put it on there. Here we go. Young DJs. Push that button right there. Someone. That top one. See the light go on? All right. 96.3 FM. The Learning Circle is here, and they are now leaving. You guys?
Bye.
Bye.
Have fun?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for coming.
You do. Someone to smile.
Kids, let's all build a better world. doesn't that feel better?
Hi, this is India, co-host of the Media Watch show every Wednesday morning from 10 to 12 on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and you can listen in on freakradio.org.
Again, you're tuned to 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz, and on today's program is an interview regarding farmers in Palestine that are being prevented from reaching their crops, and it is harvest time in Palestine right now. Joining me to talk about this situation is Paul Larudi, who has been active on this issue since 1965. He has been to Palestine 9 times, and he lived in the area for about 14 years. He currently works with the International Solidarity Movement. In April of 2002, Paul Larudi was wounded in the foot by an Israeli soldier, along with 6 other International Solidarity Movement activists engaged in nonviolent direct action. He is in close contact with internationals working on the ground in Jos and joins me by phone. So, Paul, please let me know what is the most current situation. I've heard that Palestinian farmers are unable to get to their land right now and harvest their crops, and this is crucial, right? Can you explain?
Yes, it is. This is the harvest season for a lot of the crops there. And the newest obstacle, of course, is the so-called separation wall. Separation being the English word for the apartheid in Afrikaans. So, and the wall is ostensibly, at least the Israelis claim, that it is to provide security between Israeli and Palestinian communities. So if that's the case, why are open areas without habitations on them, all on the Israeli side of the wall, when these open lands, the farmlands, belong to the communities that are on the other side of the wall, on the Palestinian side of the wall. This is the case with a number of communities, including Anin and Jayus and communities all along where this wall is being built. The latest one crisis that we had was in Jayus, where the farmers, 75% to 80% of their land is on the opposite side of the wall from where they live. So they've had to sleep on the ground sometimes. They go across when they're permitted to go through the gate, and then they sleep on the land in the open because they're not sure when they'll get another chance to go there. The authorities have been opening the gate in the wall on a sporadic basis, and if you happen to be there when they open it, fine, and if not, you don't get through. So these farmers are in a lot of trouble because of this.
So have any of their crops spoiled yet at this point? Have people lost large amounts of crops, or has that been averted by them camping out near their crops?
They have lost some of their crops. Partly, camping out near their crops doesn't matter if they can't get their crops to market. So they can, while they're camped out there, they can tend to their crops, do the pruning and irrigating and whatever is required. But they can't get the crops to market. So
therefore, they can't harvest the crops, because if they harvested them, they would spoil.
That's right. Exactly. Right. So this has been a problem. How big a problem, I can't say yet, but if it goes on, it's the worst of this problem is recent, only within the last week to 10 days. But if it goes on this way, there really won't be much point in farming the land any longer. And under the laws that Israel applies, which are ancient laws from the Ottoman period, if the land is untended for 3 years, it reverts to become state land, and it's taken away from the original owners. So if you can keep the owners away from their land, then it becomes yours.
Is this only happening in Jayus right now?
Oh, no. No, it's happening in, I'm trying to remember the other villages. There's Anin, which is near Jenin. And
Kalkilia?
Kalkilia is not a village, but it's a major city, and it is completely surrounded now. So any lands there, it's a walled city, but unlike the walled cities of Europe, this is to keep people from getting out rather than to keep people from getting in. So most of the surrounding lands have already been confiscated. And Jayus is not far from Kalkilia. So it's one of those that's suffering from that.
Do you have any idea how many farmers are affected?
Affected directly by the wall, it's my recollection that it's between 30 and 50,000 farmers.
And you're talking also not just about the wall blocking farmers from getting to their crops to harvest them, but also the construction of the wall has, during the construction of the wall, the Israeli soldiers have uprooted tens of thousands of trees and destroyed, I don't know, countless acres of farmland as well as whole villages. And
that's exactly right. The latest one was Nazlat Isa, which also is not far, and Masha, which are also not far from Kalkilia. In Nazlat Isa, they destroyed about 110 structures, mostly commercial structures, the entire downtown area, in effect. And this used to be a thriving market where Israelis and Palestinians got together, and Palestinians were able to sell their produce to the Israeli market. And it was something that all of them looked forward to. But that's gone now.
A local activist, Lisa Nessen, interviewed her not too long ago regarding what she had experienced, and I think about 6 months she spent in the West Bank, and she actually has family in Israel as well, and she was saying that she was in a town, working in one town where over 60 shops were destroyed to make way for this wall.
Yes, that was Nazlat Isa.
She also explained that the wall kind of wove. It wasn't a straight line, and it wasn't on the border between Israel and the West Bank. It takes some of the West Bank's land, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It will cut as close as possible to the Palestinian towns that they want to exclude, but it will grab as much of the land outside those towns as possible, and in effect, annex it to Israel.
What percent of the West Bank are they annexing?
The projections are that when the wall is completed, it will result in at least 10, and by some estimates, up to 40% of the West Bank. But in actual fact, right now, ever since the beginning of the occupation, already more than 42% of the West Bank has been confiscated. So, and the plan for the way the wall is running, it will enclose just about 40% of the West Bank, and that 40% would be Palestinian areas. At least until Israel decides otherwise. So, in effect, the wall means a land grab in total of about 60% of the West Bank.
What about the water? My understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the Israeli government already controls about 80% of the water in the West Bank, 80%. And will this mean that they control even more of that water?
Apparently so, because, for example, in Jayus, you have 7 wells that belong to the town of Jayus, and 5 of them are now on the side of the wall that will be under Israeli control. So the farmers and residents of the town no longer have access to it, and these are some of the most important water aquifers in the region. It's a water-rich region by comparison to the rest. So yes, by all means,
the West Bank is a water-rich region, and compared to
that part of the West Bank is some of the richest water, has some of the richest water resources in the West Bank.
Where Jayus is located?
Yes, between Tulkarm and Kalkilia, and where Jayus and Masha and all these villages are located, those are sit atop one of the most important aquifers in the region.
Now, let's talk about this security wall a little bit, and then we'll just get some information about how people can call in support of the farmers being able to get to their crops. There's definitely some individuals that people here can call. Isn't that right?
That's true.
So we'll get around to that toward the end, but let's just talk a little bit more about the wall first. This wall is being called a security wall or a security fence. It's about 200 miles long, 25 feet high in most areas, and the government of Israel is, as I said, calling this a security wall. Now, what do you make of that?
Well, for the sake of security, it's almost useless because there are always ways around it. And in fact, the Israeli forces offer ways to get through on certain occasions. This is true similarly with all the other security apparatus, the checkpoints and the blocked roads and this sort of thing. I myself have spoken to Israeli soldiers at these checkpoints pleading for a man with a heart condition to go through or a woman who's trying to reach her brother who's in the hospital with leukemia or something like this. And he'll say, well, I don't have any orders to allow her through. Why doesn't she just go through the fields around the checkpoint? Well, I mean, if a soldier is advising somebody to take a route around the checkpoints, which of course is risky, then where's the security in this? It has nothing to do with security. It has to do with harassment, making life as miserable as possible, trying to get Palestinians to be so desperate that they will leave.
And you have to wonder about the seizure of the land as well. I mean, if you're saying eventually it may take up about 60%, it's kind, like you said, it's kind of seems like a land grab. Why isn't it being built on the Green Line? Why isn't it being built on the border? Why is it being built, you know, on acres and acres of West Bank land, of Palestinian land?
Well, because it was never intended as a security wall. The purpose was never security. The purpose was land grab. There's, as you know, I've been with this issue for a very long time. There was a book, I think it was published in 1966, called The Arabs in Israel by Sabri Gilyas. He describes methods, the same methods that were used back in the 1950s, where Palestinians living in Israel were not allowed access, were cut off from their homes for security reasons, and thereby lost their homes. And large tracts of land were confiscated to build roads and to build buffer zones between various areas, all kinds of things. This wall, it's impressive. It's 25 feet high, and it snakes all the way through various parts of the West Bank. But I don't for one minute think that it's going to, that its purpose is security. The purpose is to grab more land. And then once they've grabbed the land, maybe they'll demolish the wall.
And then again, you have, though, we have been talking about how some Palestinian farmers haven't been able to reach their crops that are on the other side of the wall. Are these crops between two walls? I'm curious about that. Are they between the border, the Green Line, which you can't cross, and this new security wall? So they're in kind of a no man's land, right?
More important than the crops and the lands are the people who are actually living in those areas. Because, of course, it's not always as neat as keeping all the Palestinians on one side and all the settlements on the other side. There is less of a barrier, a physical barrier, at the Green Line itself, and in many cases, there's no barrier at all. It's not marked. But there are Palestinians who now find themselves, their dwellings, in between the border with Israel, the Green Line, and the wall. Now, they have no right to go into Israel, and they have no opportunity to go into the West Bank. So there they are, trapped in between the two.
How do they survive?
Right now, their best hope is us. It's aid organizations and human rights groups and things like this that are able to provide them. They can get a little bit from the land, but otherwise they depend on some kind of aid. And they receive no visitors and things like this. It's really a desperate situation.
All in all, it was all just breaks in the wall.
This is Krista Ness reporting from occupied Palestine.
The Israeli military is building an 8-meter high and 10-meter deep so-called security wall.
That's right, it's 8 meters high, which is about 20 to 25 feet high. It is going to be 360 kilometers long. The purpose is to separate the Palestinian territory from Israel. The idea is that it will be like a Berlin Wall. It will have sensors, motion sensors. It will have observation posts every 300 meters. And there'll be a road that runs along it, so it'll be patrolled by Israeli soldiers. And the idea is that nobody from the West Bank will be able to travel to Israel. Now, that also means that no Israelis will ever have contact with the Palestinians either. It is, I think, a response to a failed policy that Israelis have not been able to stop Palestinians from going into Israel to seek work, has stopped militants from going into Israel to cause havoc. And so the thought is that we'll just build a wall and we'll be able to prevent anybody from the northern part of the West Bank to enter Israel.
Stop the occupation.
All in all, it was all just breaks in the wall.
Stop the occupation.
Caterpillar is the company that supplies the D9 Caterpillars. They're 60 tons. The Israelis have armored them so that small arms fire will not harm the driver. And they're huge. Nothing really can stand in their way. They just go right through everything. Caterpillar has said that it has no responsibility for selling these bulldozers to Israelis because all they're doing is selling bulldozers. They can't be responsible for what they do with them. In San Francisco, an activist group performed a citizen's arrest of the board of directors of Caterpillar as they held a meeting and charged them with war crimes.
All in all, it was all just breaks in the wall.
Stop the occupation. Block O is flooded again with sewage. Israeli-driven Caterpillar bulldozers have created another wall of demolished homes from the debris, bed springs, plastic, the sheep, the crumbled cement that used to be the houses. This new wall, near the 8-meter-high, 8-meter-deep separation wall that looms into the sky that the Israeli military is destroying Rafah to build, is creating another flood of sewage. I saw only one person in this area of Block O today, an elderly man walking on mud flats in order to avoid the sewage invading his home. Stop the occupation.
In order to build this wall, they've got this idea about how many houses they have to demolish, like how far they have to go, and they're actually going in much further. And you know, we thought they were finished with Block O because they've already built the wall in that area, and they already demolished most of the houses. They already ruptured all the sewage lines and destroyed the water supply in that area. And so there's almost none of it left anyway. But the idea that they came back in and destroyed 21 more homes makes most of us think that they're just not going to stop until they've demolished all of the town and all of the camps. And many people think there's just going to be a full-on massacre in all of the Gaza Strip, which
happens slowly on a daily basis. I mean, there's a slow death occurring there, but outright killings, people think are going to increase. People are really just bracing themselves, and Cuesta Strip is a prison. You can't leave it if you're Palestinian, so there's nowhere for the people to go to hide. There's nowhere for them to go to reach safety. I mean, this is it, and the people know it. They say, what can we do? There's nowhere to go. They sit in their houses and they wait, if they're lucky enough to have a house.
Stop the occupation. This is Kristen S. reporting from Occupied Palestine.
Become the Media Radio. My name is Skidmark Bob. You just heard a special audio edu-collage done by yours truly. We heard from Paul LaRudy of the International Solidarity Movement. You can go to palsolidarity.org. You could also tune in to Old Lady Scar Arms with the Cut Your Hair and Get a Fucking Job program every Sunday, 3 p.m. California time at Free Radio Santa Cruz. We heard Kevin Danaher and Maya Ramna from the Global Exchange talking about what's going on with the WTO in Cancun, Mexico, coming up. You can catch the Rockin' a Boat program with the V-Man Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. California time at Freak Radio Santa Cruz, freakradio.org or 96.3. We heard from Seize the Day. We heard from a band called Kindness with a track called I Could Build a Better World Without You. We heard from the Learning Circle, the grassroots homeschool program of the Alternative Family Education put on by Santa Cruz City Schools. Download Become the Media Radio for free at our website at www.freakradio.org. That's www.freakradio.org. You can also find this program up at radio4.all. That's www.radio4all.net. And it'd be really good to give them a donation. They could use it. They're putting up all sorts of great grassroots media at radio4all.net. And want to send a special shout out to Lynn and all the folks there keeping Radio for All going. We have a lot of our own programs that are uploaded there almost daily. And if you'd like to help out this grassroots effort of Freak Radio, please send any and all donations. Make those checks payable to Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's free, not freak. Free Radio Santa Cruz, although we are freaks. Or FRSC. You can mail them on in to P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061. That's P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061. You could also PayPal at our website at www.freakradio.org. And always remember, you really can become the media.